Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome.
Welcome
to our basement of spice. It is September. We are spicing it up, and I do not mean pumpkin.
No, we decided to try something new, and by new it's
not
was
totally
cayenne.
New, but
well, new.
It's a throwback.
Yeah.
Do we have any THMers out there that listen to us? Trim Healthy Mama. Daddy calls. Well, he does not call himself, but we tease him that he's a Trim Healthy Papa.
Yes.
But okay. So anyway, if you do THM at all, we made the shrinker. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 bags of oolong tea steeped.
Yes.
And then a mug of boiling water. And then I like to take the milk. So you take either, like if you want to make it an S, which is fat, if you want to make it like a satisfying, then you would put a fat milk, like cream or half and half or something like that, or full fat coconut milk.
Yeah.
And if you want it to be an E, which is energizing, low carb, then you would put like an almond milk.
Yes.
Or
something
maybe
that doesn't
even
have
an oat
a whole
milk.
Lot of fat in it. Yeah.
And so 1/4 cup. And then you put in 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 2 pinches of salt, some sweetener. We use liquid monk fruit, but you could use stevia, you could use whatever. And then this is the instructions. It says enough cayenne until you feel like a feisty tiger.
Feisty tiger.
And I messed up because I am spicier than my daughter. I am feistier than my daughter. And I put the amount of cayenne she wanted because she likes
to drink
a good, the cowgirl coffee.
The spicy cowgirl, which is like the coffee version of this, but it's a Pioneer Woman drink.
Okay, well, I don't need as much spice as you. And this is, so it's hot to begin with. It's a hot drink. And it's hot.
It's got a kick.
It is like eating my brother's baked beans.
It's not that bad.
Oh. Uncle Thad, just.
Not what I meant. You don't get to take that out of context, okay?
But it is spicy. And it's spicy. And I do not need help being spicy.
I like it. I will be making it multiple times.
Well, see, like your mommy is over here serving you and taking care of you. Is oolong caffeinated?
I have no idea. I think, well, it depends. I think that what the oolong we have is caffeinated. So.
I don't think any oolong is caffeinated. I think it's naturally decaf.
Maybe it is. I have no clue.
Well, you could make this with a caffeinated tea.
Yeah.
Or with coffee.
Or with coffee.
If you were, and that would then be the spicy cowgirl.
You know,
hey,
my
podcast listeners, here we are. Let's focus. So our last podcast was in April of this year. And as I said, it is now September. So
we have a lot of blank space to account for.
We have some splaining to do, as Ricky would say to Lucy. It's been 4 whole months since we podcasted.
4 really crazy months.
Well, some of it was crazy. Okay, the beginning.
The beginning
was
just insane.
Crazy. But then it calmed down. It's been calm.
Will you never learn? I'm pretty sure that's what you said on the April podcast. Like your exact words. Everything is calmed down. Or I'm looking forward to everything calming down. And then boom, nothing calmed down. It was like opposite
took
effect.
I need a better boom.
Like,
no, like boom. I need you to be Luke. Remember when he used to tell the story about the piano bench collapsing when I was on it?
He's better at these things, though.
Okay, well,
he's the one that should have a podcast, honestly.
The things that happened in May deserve a Luke boom.
They do. They do. Yeah.
Nothing calmed down is the point. Mm-hmm. And I forget that a lot of people that listen to this podcast don't interact with us on the daily. So we probably need to fill in a few blanks.
Maybe.
Well, not maybe, I was reminded of this back in July because I drove over to Lathrop. Hey, Lathrop friends. Hi, Becky. And I went there to get my hair permed.
Yep, secret's out. Her hair is not naturally curly. If I ever make a frequently asked questions page on our website, that's probably going to be in like the top five.
Oh my. Well, now that's very true. My hair is naturally as stick straight as yours, but mm-hmm. Daddy likes it curly. So I've had it permed for like 30 years.
Longer than that. Because you, didn't grandma used to get it permed by like a cousin or something in grandma house's kitchen?
Yes.
You were telling that story the other day. I used to get perms
in grandma's kitchen from, I had a cousin that was a beautician. Oh man, if that kitchen could talk, that is one place I would go back to if I were given the chance to get in a time machine.
But would you go on perm day?
Probably not. No. Oh, you know what? I'd probably go on my wedding day.
Yeah.
In between the farm where we got married mm-hmm. and then the reception in Carrollton, we stopped at grandma's house. I don't know why. I have no idea. Except grandma's house was just Grand Central Station. You know, that's just what you did. You stopped there to see everyone in your wedding gown with your veil on between your wedding and your reception.
That's priceless. I want to be that kind of grandma someday. You know, be the place where everybody feels welcome and at home and loved.
Well, that was grandma's. You could even get your hair permed for free in the kitchen sink. But the point of this story is that I went back to Lathrop, where we lived when you and Charlie were born. So 19, 20 years ago. And our next door neighbor, Karen, who is like an older sister to me, owns the hair station in Lathrop. It's in Lathrop, Missouri, the hair station. It looks like a little red railroad station, no joke. And you should definitely go and see her if you have hair needs. And who does not have hair needs? But she's the best. I have been having her perm my hair every year since you were born.
Is that really? And all the places that we've traveled, have you literally had no one else perm your hair in 20 years?
Absolutely not. If I missed a year getting my hair permed, if I couldn't get to Karen, nobody else has touched my, I mean, I've That's had it trimmed.
Or just like self, you know, you just care that much about your hair. A perm is one of those things. You mess that up. I mean.
Ooh. Yes, ma'am. Well, it's also my annual date with Karen. There's almost never anyone else in her shop. And so for 2.5 hours, we can just catch up on everything that's happening.
Yeah, I know. I've been there for a lot of those perms, so I'm aware. Yeah.
Well, when I went to see her in July, she had no idea about my surgery. She had no idea about Charlie's wreck. None of the other hullabaloo that has been life this past spring and summer.
Yeah. Well, neither do a lot of the podcast listeners, I'm sure. So in April, after we dropped the podcast, you had surgery for cubital tunnel syndrome on your left arm.
I sure did. Yeah. I have had a lot of trouble with my hands and arms for a few years now.
Longer than that.
Well, yes. It really started when Michaela was a baby, mm-hmm. but then it kind of stayed hidden until the last few years.
Yeah, and because of the pain and the limitations, it causes our band schedule to be greatly reduced. And our gardens all took a little Sabbath rest this spring and summer.
Yes. So I had that surgery in April, and it affected basically all of our life around here.
Well, you played a concert, the first weekend in May, like 3 days after they cut your cast off?
Is our surgeon, he doesn't listen to this, does he?
I don't know.
Well, the show must go on, see?
Always. And the Three Ring Circus show went on as well. You got your cast off. We played that concert. And then on Monday, Charlie had a car wreck and had to be life flighted.
Yes. So
right in the middle of finals as well. Yep.
We're laughing, which means Charlie's okay. And
yes,
I need to say that right off the bat.
Well, I say he's fine, but.
Stop it. He is. Yeah. He would be like, well, I have a titanium rod in my leg.
He'd but be like, define
a few things
like,
are
what,
different,
are
but he
that?
Is, I need everyone to know. If they didn't know that Charlie had been involved in a wreck, then I need them to know before we tell this whole story. It wouldn't be kind to tell the whole story and have them thinking that something bad happened to him. Charlie is perfectly fine. He is mowing the grass for his father right now as we speak. But no, on that Monday, he got into an unmarked construction zone on a little two-lane country road in the county next to us, and it resulted in a pileup of sorts. He hit the car in front of him going about 40 miles an hour, and his big old long legs got wadded up in the dash of his Buick, and we're grateful that his seatbelt and his airbags worked and that he wasn't going any faster than he was.
Yeah. And he still had major trauma to his right leg and had to be flown to a level one trauma center and have surgery within 24 hours. And
this was the kickoff. This was the Monday of his high school graduation week. So
while you were in the hospital with Charlie, Dad and our pastor, Nathan, and his son, Kelson, and all of our guys here at home were working like crazy to get the shop ready to host 150 to 200 people for Charlie's graduation ceremony and reception.
Yes. And Daisy and Michaela. Yes. They both worked really, really hard.
Yeah.
And we made it.
We made it.
And we made it.
The only major change was that one thing that Charlie requested for his grad party was a dance. He loves to dance. And I had made an entire playlist and we had invited all of these people and we were ready for the most epic barn dance.
And Charlie could barely walk.
Yeah. But he could pick his guitar, so he did that.
Well, that's about all he did during May and June, bless his heart. But you know, the evidence of Father's grace in his life, that has blessed me so much. He never got down. There was no grouchiness. There has not been discontentment. I mean, nothing. He has been so very patient.
Supernaturally patient. And he's, I mean, it's... I'm not the most patient person. No one really is the most patient.
I don't think patience naturally comes to anybody. Uh-uh. But
it's just been.
But Charlie's been moving since the day he was born.
Yes.
Always moving and always moving fast.
Yes.
And that is the Charlie, Daisy, Nathaniel line.
Yeah.
They are all left-handed and they are all constantly
very busy.
Busy and going and moving and doing. And so for him to just be so accepting of the situation.
Yeah.
And just
it had to have come from something other than himself.
Right. I almost said just really bending the knee.
Yeah.
But I know. That's like at the end of his graduation. Our pastor Ian, this was his turn to speak at graduation this year. And he'd been planning this for weeks. I mean, probably in March, he was like, what should I talk about? And what should I, you know? And so he had ordered this special gift for Charlie that had to do with navigation and the Navy. And he had this whole sermon prepared and it was great. And, I mean, Ian's like a national level speaker. Yeah. And then he has this disastrous wreck the week of his graduation. And Ian is like, oh my word, how do I change, you know, what do I do?
Yeah.
And so at the end of his little speech, not little, I mean, he spoke for like a half an hour.
Yeah.
He says, all right, Charlie, so break a leg. And then he goes, too soon? And I'm never going to be over it. I mean, it was possibly anyone else. And he couldn't have gotten away with that. But it was just really good. It was a blessing. And so that helped. And I think being surrounded by people, little brothers and sisters have helped. I know that Charlie and Maggie are super close.
Yeah.
And I know that another big blow was that he needed to rehome his lab.
Mm-hmm.
And so that because Charlie was supposed to leave at the end of May for the Navy.
Yeah.
And so he needed to rehome his lab. But the minute he got hurt, he needed to be away from her.
Yeah.
Because she's just a big puppy.
Yeah.
And she would have knocked him down.
Yeah.
And so while most people are recovering from something like that, they would cuddle and snuggle their dog. And our really good friends, Butch and Marcy, took the dog and...
Yes.
So that was just, it was a huge blessing that they did that. Mm-hmm. But another huge blow to like having a way to get through all of that downtime in the chair. Well, anyway, he was supernaturally patient and he was supposed to ship out for boot camp at the end of May. So he had to watch that date come and then go.
Yes. But he's done great and he's been working with our good friend Jerry as an electrician's helper, or had been through July and August. So that was a huge blessing too.
And he still has a future with the Navy.
Yes.
So hopefully in a future episode this fall, we can share exactly what he's doing and how everyone can pray for and support him.
Yeah. Are there any other major family updates?
I don't know. Was that not enough for you?
I guess that was a good start. That was a pretty good start.
Well, we started school in August. You are at, when I was a kid, it was CMSU. What is it now?
It is CMU, Central Missouri University.
Okay. Well, you are at Central Missouri University in Warrensburg.
Yes. I'm studying financial accounting, playing violin in the orchestra, commuting on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and teaching on Tuesday and Thursday, having the time of my life.
It is a great time for you.
Yeah.
There's lots of exciting things happening, and you've prayed about them and prepared for them for a really long time.
I'm excited, but I appreciate prayers for energy. I like living at home and being connected to everyone here, but the drive home in the evenings is really difficult. The morning is fine. It gives me time to listen to something like devotionally to wake up, and I have my quiet time, and I really enjoy the morning drive. But in the evening, especially in a few weeks when the days get shorter and I'm driving in the dark, I'm definitely going to need prayer to stay alert for deer, to stay awake in general, all of those things.
I'm going to make you an iced spicy cowgirl.
Okay.
In a thermos. Uh-huh. So it'll stay cold or hot.
So I should start out with it hot, like in the morning.
There you go.
And then I can just like ice it.
On the way home.
On the way home. Yeah.
Be spiced up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, here at home, I have a freshman. I have a sixth grader, a fourth grader, a first grader, and a four-year-old preschooler.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the last podcast, you shared that we would pick up on the model prayer in Matthew 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. So for any listeners who are new to Give Me Your Heart, the entire first season of this podcast and every episode of the second season so far has been explaining how to use the model prayer, commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, from Matthew chapter 6 to do our daily family worship time.
Yes. And all of those previous episodes are on our website at givemeyourheart.org. Or you can find us on Spotify. You just search for Give Me Your Heart.
Yes.
And if you have any issues, you can email us at givemeyourheart2326@gmail.com. I'll say that again. Our email address is givemeyourheart2326@gmail.com. And in case you're wondering, that's because Give Me Your Heart is from Proverbs 23, mm-hmm. verse 26.
Yes.
And then our Facebook page is also simply Give Me Your Heart. Mm-hmm. So you can look for us there.
All right. Well, let's jump in here. On April's podcast, you talked about what it meant to ask God for daily bread, for daily spiritual food or nourishment.
Yeah. And that daily spiritual food is Jesus. We talked about how the act of believing, the act of doing faith, eating the bread of life, drinking the blood of life, these are actions, but they're not actions you're doing with your hands and feet and mouth. They're actions of your soul. We always like to say that your soul are the thoughts of your mind and the feelings of your heart. So these are hungers in our soul. They are thirsts of our soul, and they were put there by Father God. Our souls were completely dead. Another word for soul, spirit. Our spirits were completely dead, and he came and he made them alive. And then he made us hungry and he made us thirsty for him. He gave us a very specific craving that only he could satisfy. And I'm talking here about people that are saved, people that are covered in the blood of Christ, people that are, that have gone from death to life. Okay. When Jesus says in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread, only those people who have gone from death to life, Christ followers who have been redeemed, only those people are going to get what eating and drinking his blood really means. Eating the bread of life, eating, drinking the blood. We wake up hungry for him. We wake up thirsty for him. And we find ourselves saying, like a child to his faithful parent, hey, give me something to eat. I know you have it. I know you prepared it specifically for me. Let me have it.
Yeah. And we said that if you want assurance of your salvation, this is it. Do you hunger for the things of God? daily, hourly, first thing in the morning, throughout your day? Do you hunger and thirst for the things of God? And if you've been brought from death to life, then like any living being, you will be hungry and thirsty.
And so we gather around the table in the morning after breakfast.
And we stay at the table in the evening after supper.
We go through the model prayer. And when we get to give us this day our daily bread, your dad and I allow the hunger that believing has caused in our spirit to drive us into the word. We might memorize scripture. We teach ourselves doctrine with a catechism. We read sermons and commentaries from theologians. And we eat the spiritual, quote unquote, bread that Father has prepared for us.
Yeah. And I'd like to break that down and spend these podcasts this autumn talking about how you teach catechism, how you teach us the Bible, how we memorize the scripture. Growing up in your home, I never knew a time that we didn't do those things. And so it will be very natural for me to implement them into my own routine someday when I have my own home. But I know that if we ever do a frequently asked questions page on the website, more important than whether your hair is naturally curly or not, mom and dads want to know how you and dad got us to memorize scripture. I don't know how many times I've heard that question asked, and how you managed to fit catechism into our life and our routine.
Well, the short answer to that question is two words. God's grace. It's nothing that makes us special. God made us alive. He brought us from death into life spiritually. And then he made us hungry. Mm-hmm. That hunger drove us to his word, and it kept us in his word, and it made us intentional. It's very simple. You eat and you drink because you're hungry and thirsty. You are intentional about these things. You intentionally plan and budget money and time. Mm-hmm. To eat because you're hungry. There's physical pain if you stop eating and drinking.
Pain is priority.
Yeah. We prioritize things that hurt. Mm-hmm. So my first question for people is this. If you are not prioritizing eating God's word, is it causing you pain? Mm-hmm. Are you having hunger pains? If you're not, then I would question whether you are alive in Christ. Because remember, dead people don't hunger for anything. Mm-hmm. You will only be hungry if you are alive.
Yeah, and that's not optional. That is biological truth. If you are alive, you will be hungry.
Right, correct. And if you don't eat, you will have hunger pains. And at first, they'll be sharp. But if you get used to starving yourself, mm-hmm. those pains will become more dull. And as you continue to starve yourself, there will be signs of starvation.
Yeah. And for myself, when I ignore that warning system, those sharp hunger pains, the first week or so that I get out of the routine of having my quiet time and having my own personal Bible study, it turns into a season where I'm not spiritually eating. The signs that I'm spiritually starving become really apparent. I'm easily angered. I'm moody. I have zero impulse control. And my patience and tolerance for anything that crosses my preferences is completely non-existent.
Well, same. I basically become a bear. It's obvious that I need a reset.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important that you surround yourself with people who can see that and not just see it, but can call you out on it.
Absolutely. This is one reason we have the body. We're going through Ephesians as a church right now, and we are in the beginning of chapter 4, and it's all about unity, unity, unity. And this is why we stay connected to the local body. Mm-hmm. It's not the only reason, but it is one of the foundational reasons. And it's extremely important that we spend ample amount of time with the body so that they can call us out on things, so that they get to know us well enough to call us out on things.
Yes.
Like knowing my personality. If you don't know me very well, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to go, is that her real personality, or is she acting out like, is she not spending time with the Lord? The other thing is, oh, I see that in her, but we're not close enough for me to say anything. Mm-hmm. That, but you need to be close enough to your church body.
Yeah.
That those two things, they know you and they are able to say, hey.
Yeah.
I mean, like my good friend Pam, one of my absolute dearest friends, I don't think she would have any problem.
Yeah.
I don't think she would physically yank me by the ponytail, but I mean,
yeah,
but it's, yeah. And I would know it's out of love.
Yes.
She loves me. Yeah. She has
because
served.
You know her as well as she knows
right.
you.
Right. But that's, she, yeah. you have to earn the right to speak mm-hmm. truth into someone's life. Yeah. And she has served me and walked with me for a decade now. And so if you're doing those things, if you are serving one another and walking with them, then number one, you know when they're off.
Yeah.
You hopefully have the discernment to know they don't need to be corrected right now. Mm-hmm. They need to be loved. And yeah. and correcting someone is not loving them.
Yeah.
That's just another facet of love. But like they just need grace right now. And other times, no, they need a good kick in the knee. That's yeah. what I was going to say. They need a good kick in the knee. So it's really important to stay connected to your local body.
Yeah.
But I have a house full of young adults. Not really. Luke has moved out. But I yeah. have three young adults, 21, 20, 19. And so something that's on my radar, something that I think about, is that it's also extremely important to spend ample amounts of time and energy getting to know a potential husband or wife mm-hmm. before you agree to get engaged.
Yeah.
If that person is not hungry and thirsty for the things of God when you're getting to know them, then you need to assume they are spiritually dead.
Yeah.
That they have not been brought from death to life.
Yeah.
Because as I said in the last podcast, when I have a baby, that newborn baby is only consistently one thing.
Yeah.
What is the one thing a baby consistently is?
Hungry.
Hungry.
Yeah.
And what was it I said about John Piper's sermon? That a branch does one thing. Soaks up.
Yeah.
Takes it in. That's all a branch does. So if you are not hungry, if someone you're dating or hanging out with or getting to know is not hungry or thirsty for the things of God, mm-hmm. I would assume they are spiritually dead.
Yeah.
And no yeah. amount of love or patience or cajoling on your part is going to make a person become spiritually alive after
yes.
you marry them.
You don't have the power to change, to bring a person from death to life.
Only the Holy Spirit yes. can take a spiritually dead yeah. person and make them spiritually alive.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard more than a few women come to you over the years who were upset because they were married to men who most definitely loved the Lord, and yet their husbands weren't willing to do Bible time at home or any kind of family worship. Can you share what your advice would be to that woman?
Well, number one, you said that they're married to men who most definitely love the Lord.
Yeah.
If they're not seeking the Lord, they're just saying they love him. I would be praying for that man's salvation because yeah. of everything I just said. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody listening to me, I do not know your man. And I am not saying anybody is saved or not saved, yeah. but I'm saying the Bible is very clear that if you are not hungering for the things of God, for the bread of life, and thirsting for Jesus, then something is wrong.
Yeah.
So the first thing I would do is pray for your husband. The second thing I would do is pray for your husband. Because if he loves the Lord, you're still going to be praying for him
yes.
to obey mm-hmm. the Lord, because teaching your children, and I mean, they are commanded to wash their wife with the word of God. That's yeah. I'm quoting scripture there
yeah.
and they're commanded to disciple their children. So, but let me back up. The most important thing as wives that we can ever do is focus on numero uno.
Yeah.
What am yeah. I doing? So if your husband is not leading in this area in the way that you want him to lead, my very first question for you is, how is your child training? Mm-hmm. Did you notice my voice got quieter? Because this is the this can get ugly.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be called out on this, but how's your child training going? I can only speak for my own home, but my husband works 10 hours a day as a welder in a really hot shop. Mm-hmm. He comes home to our small farm and has various evening chores depending on the time of the year. Then he comes inside and he has bookkeeping work to do. He has bill paying chores. He follows all of that up with all the home maintenance chores, the daily onslaught of hearing, "Dad, my light burned out in my bathroom. Mm-hmm. My ceiling fan quit.
Being my personal mechanic.
The vacuum sweeper isn't working. The garbage disposal is clogged. His favorite is the toilet is leaking or there's water running down the wall."
Again.
Uh-huh. And on and on and on. And he has zero energy to try and do family devotions with unruly children who have been allowed to run wild all day.
Yeah.
You have got to train your children, ladies. Train them to sit. Train them to listen. Train them to focus. Mm-hmm. This happens when they're required to sit down at the table at breakfast and sit down at the table at lunch and sit down at the table at snack time over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Ways that I have kept them there is by reading to them.
Yeah.
Being very intentional. If I want them to sit at the table after supper at night and listen to their dad,
they need to be used to that.
They need to be used to that expectation. Yeah. So train them to sit at the table and listen. Normalize it from the time they are in a high chair. My second question. Okay, so the first thing is child training. Mm-hmm. My second question is, how is your meal planning and meal prepping working out? Mm-hmm. Does it even exist? If evening devotions are your priority, then first thing in the morning, you're going to look at your carefully thought out meal plan, of which you should have, ladies, and see what is on the list for supper tonight.
Yeah.
You're going to get it going before little people even get up. If there is burger that needs to be cooked and it's in the freezer, you're going to set it out.
Yeah.
You're going to make a plan for the day that, hey, at 11 o'clock, I need that defrosted burger starting to be fried or in something. You're going to be getting your meat ready. Anything that can be prepped before the chaos of the evening, you're going to be doing it. You are not going to wait until 5 o'clock to figure out supper. You're going to make sure, kind of a little bit different, but you're going to make sure that you're at home. Uh-huh. If you have small children, giving them a nap early in the afternoon so that they are not exhausted and grouchy during supper. You're going to require your older children to start picking the house up, cleaning up their bedroom, folding and putting away laundry way before dad walks in the evening. Yeah. So you're going to have supper going when he arrives, and he needs to be able to see it, like that supper is in motion, and even smell it. So that he knows there is a plan in place. There's order here.
Yeah. And it's the norm, for us at least, that dad walks in and helps with supper prep. That's just his personality and his area of giftedness. But we always have a plan. Things might not always go according to the plan, but it is there. And we have supper started and going, and we plan all of these things.
He jumps in wherever we're at, and he immediately starts leading. Now, that's probably not most dads, but it is ours. And that leads me to a really key point. We are finite beings, ladies. We cannot possibly do everything. So it is important to identify what are, like, choose three things that are most important to your husband when he walks in the door at night. For Clint, he likes supper to be going. He likes the house to be picked up from the day. And he likes little ones to be decently agreeable.
Yeah.
Not exhausted and overstimulated from having run all day long. And so if I want him to lead devotions at night, I need to show him that I prioritize that by my actions. Mm-hmm. He has dozens of responsibilities in a day. And one of those responsibilities is most definitely to read and teach God's word to me as his wife and to our children. Mm-hmm. But he is human. He is exhausted. And I'm commanded to respect that he is human and he is exhausted.
Yeah.
And to honor how hard he works. I am not to nag him for more,
yeah,
to be more and to do more. I have found that when he sees me running an organized and peaceful home, and straight up there are seasons of chaos around here, but peace and organization, mm-hmm, should be the goal.
Yes.
They should be the norm. We shouldn't, I shouldn't brag about being a hot mess.
Yeah.
And that's just that's just who I am. That's how it's going to go. I mean, he wants to see that I am making an effort, even if it all goes off the rail, that I am making an effort for peace, for organization.
Yeah.
And when he sees that, he's much more open in his attitude to lead our family in worship time.
Yeah.
It is always, always, always my advice, when you are disgruntled with your man, to take it to the Lord, lay it down in prayer, and then examine your own heart before Father. Because usually discontentment in my heart directed toward Clint is really a projection.
Yeah.
Of me being discontent myself, and it's something I need to change, but I'm projecting it onto my husband.
Yeah.
So my last piece of advice is to get into a church where the pastor, who is in authority over your husband, because if you didn't know this, you're not in authority over your husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am not in authority over Clint Campbell, but his pastors, biblically are.
Yeah.
And so getting into a church where the pastor is going to eat him alive for not shepherding his family is key.
Yeah.
If you aren't in that kind of church, I would say pray for Father to lead you to a new one, mm-hmm, or pray for your pastor to become that. Or I think in a lot of cases, the pastors are feeling that way,
uh-huh,
but they don't feel free to say it.
Yeah.
So pray for your pastor to have courage. Pray for your pastor to have strength. He's finite as well. He's overwhelmed as well, and he needs your prayers.
Yeah.
So
you're dead serious.
I'm dead serious. Yeah. If your church is not like that, I am serious as a heart attack that you need to get into a church that is. If you live anywhere near us and this is you, then come to Grace Family Fellowship, because this is prioritized.
Yeah.
Men are not allowed to shirk their duties as husbands and fathers. And I would say further, if your husband's saved, he's not just your husband. He is your brother in Christ. And you have every right to expect him to do the things the Bible commands him to do.
Yeah.
That conversation we had about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, mm-hmm, about like Pam being able to call me out on stuff because she knows me. Well, she's my sister in Christ. That's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Well, your dad and I are in the body of Christ together. And so, I mean, I'm wrong if I'm not calling him out.
Yeah.
And he is wrong if he's not repenting. Now, that is not permission to nag. There are ways to go to a brother or sister in Christ who's in sin that are outlined in Scripture. And words that come to mind are the list in James 4. Remember when we memorized James 4?
Yes.
The wisdom from heaven is first pure,
peaceable, gentle,
reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits,
without
unwavering.
Hypocrisy.
And then, and the last part is without hypocrisy. Remember that projection I was talking about? And that's how you go to your believing husband and ask him to consider his attitude toward shepherding your home. He is commanded to wash you, his wife, in the word. He is commanded to disciple your children in the word. If he's not doing those things, then he's committing sin.
Yeah.
But biblically, you are not in authority over your man. I'm not in authority over my husband at all. So first and foremost, I'm going back to saying, get yourself in a church.
Yeah.
Or pray that your church becomes a church where the other men are going to set the biblical expectation.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be checking up on him that he's mm-hmm. fulfilling the duties of his role outlined in the Bible over and over and over again.
Yeah. This makes me so grateful for Dad.
Oh, I'm grateful for your daddy, yeah. too. But he has grown into who he is. Mm-hmm. And I've grown into who I am. We yeah. did not get here on some perfectly paved straight road. And we haven't arrived at a destination. We are still, you know, in the fire. That yeah. asphalt is hot. And there have been 30 years of refining mm-hmm. fire. A little bit of shirking on your dad's part in his younger years, and a little bit of nagging and fit throwing on my part. And none of the shirking or the fit throwing bore any fruit.
Yeah.
What bore fruit was prayer. I don't think you probably remember, because we left Lathrop when you were only two.
Yeah.
But I used to get together with the other younger moms, and we would push our strollers around the park and watch our preschoolers play on the equipment. So we've got babies. I mean, I was probably wearing Charlie.
Yeah.
Pushing mm-hmm. you. And Luke and Dalton are playing on the park equipment. Yeah. And we would pray for our husbands out loud by name. Mm-hmm. We would carry little prayer books that we would read from and little Bibles. I mean, literally, we would walk and be reading this. It's a wonder somebody didn't break an ankle. But we would pray scripture out loud over our families. Wow. We would confess our sin to one another. We would pray for each other. We would memorize scripture together. We would study doctrine. And then we would apply. That's the most important thing, is we would work it out in our yeah. own homes. That is what bore fruit. Mm-hmm. Not nagging.
Yeah.
Never. Nagging does not work.
Yeah.
It's not effective.
Okay. So I'm going to start with scripture memory. When I was still a student in your homeschool, we memorized the entire book of James. We memorized the entire book of 1 Peter and everything but the last chapter of 2 Peter, mm-hmm. I believe. And we memorized tons of isolated verses that we sang as songs that you wrote. So let's start with little ones and scripture songs first. How do you do that?
Well, I love the little handwriting series called A Reason for Handwriting.
And yes.
So there's yeah. a series of books. They're little workbooks. You can find them online. It's called A Reason For. And they have a reason for handwriting, a reason for, you know, different subjects. But this one, the handwriting one, teaches. So it starts with children that can't write anything. So like pre-K. And it's teaching basic printing letter constructions like ball mm-hmm. and stick.
Yes.
And it's for pre-K through second grade, the printing. And then it starts cursive in third grade on up. And
yeah.
each lesson, after the alphabet is mastered, of course, the student works on copying words that are contained in a scripture verse. So each day of the lesson, they write a few more words until the last day they are able to write the entire scripture verse.
Yep.
And many, 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 many of these verses I put to music. And if you come to one of our concerts, if you have come to one of our concerts over the years, or if you do come to one, chances are really good you're going to hear us sing a song from A Reason for Handwriting.
Yes. Some of my favorites are Never Forget to Be Truthful and Kind.
Never forget to be truthful and kind. Never forget to be truthful and kind. Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget to be truthful and kind.
But where is it found?
Proverbs 3:3. Never forget to be. Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget. Most kind.
I love that one.
That was the first song we ever recorded together. Mm-hmm. How old were you when we did that? You were tiny.
Tiny.
Daisy was a baby. Yeah. So you were super tiny. How much older? 8 years? You 8 years older than Daisy? So you were 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, that one's good.
I like that one. I like the Earnest Prayer.
Oh, we have the... Luke used to sing
that. That's another one
that
was recorded.
The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. Okay, now you have to do the other part because this is where Charlie would echo him.
I'll pray for you.
Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Yes. It's like a little question and answer thing. And then we do
James chapter 5 and verse 16. I'll pray for you.
Please pray for me.
Yep.
And Charlie used to, every time we'd do it, his glasses, he wore them like a hood ornament on a car. You know, like they're just like down on his. And he'd always push them up before he'd sing and pray for me. I don't know why.
Oh, my word.
Those are good.
Yes.
Mm, how about the one about fruit?
Oh, I can't think of it.
Take care to live in me and let me live in you. Take care to live in me. And let me live in you. For a vine can't produce fruit when severed from the...
No, it's for a branch.
Can't produce fruit when severed from the vine. Nor can you be fruitful apart from me. John 15:4. I heard it from the Lord. John 15:4. I heard it from the Lord.
And the boys used to make fun and go, John 15:4, we got the fruit from the store.
I remember that.
Coopers?
Yes.
Hey, did you know that we left our buffalo drum at Church of the Brethren? They texted me after church on Sunday and they found it in one of the pews.
Ha!
We need to get that back.
We do need to get that back. That's kind of, we need that.
If anybody from Church of the Brethren is listening, hang on to our buffalo drum.
Those are such good songs. I also love, you know, the one that I use the most in child training is do to others what you would have them do to you. Do to others.
We're not in the same key. You're off. I'm off. One of us is off. Do it again.
Do to others what you would have them do to you. Do to others what you would have them do. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And this is Matthew 7:12.
That might not be from the handwriting. That might be from...
That might be from one of those CD. Those...
Okay, this, and these are really good CDs that I want to mention so that moms can get a hold of them. I did not write these. We found them either through Sunlight or My Father's World. But what is the...
Sing
the Word... Mm-hmm. Is the title of the CDs.
And isn't that the where...
Sing the Word from A to Z.
The Honor Your Mother, Father and Mother one?
Honor your father.
That's from that.
And your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20:12.
There you go.
It's part of the Ten Commandments.
That one.
It was such a good one.
Yeah.
Well...
Yeah.
Anyway,
and that was how we started with a lot of our scripture and everything when we were little. But as we got older, we moved into some really, really good inductive Bible studies by Kay Arthur.
Oh, did you know she passed away? We did. Did we talk about Kay Arthur passed away?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
This late spring, early summer.
Yeah. That, I mean, I still, that a lot of like little techniques or tricks that we did in those studies, I still use them to this day in my own personal
studies. In the inductive Bible studies?
Like the, because she always did the color coding with pencil, with the colored pencils. And,
oh, yeah.
And passages and things. And so I still use
that series
that.
Is called Discover for Yourself. And the four is the number. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Discover for Yourself. Inductive Bible Studies for Kids.
Yeah.
And it can be found on Amazon. Kay Arthur's ministry is precept.org. Yeah. And Sissy, can you link to those things in the show notes?
Yeah. In my spare time. You prima donna. Little princess over there. Yeah. Yes, in your spare time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
One of our favorite memories. I wish I could find the video of this. We were doing a K. Arthur study in Michigan. And at that time, we were living in a travel trailer because Mom thought that would be fun. Thank you.
You are welcome.
And,
you just said this is one of your favorite memories.
It is.
And it happened.
It is.
I
loved living in Michigan.
Okay.
But thankfully, I was a young child, so I still thought it was fun. At some point, you hit that line where you just realize, oh, then no, it's not. This isn't fun. But anyway, Mom made a competition.
Have you hit that point yet?
I've hit that point.
Oh, okay.
Probably right. To keep the boys from tearing down the trailer.
Probably.
And the competition was that we each had to put 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17
Timothy
to music.
16.
And honestly, 17. I think that this might have come from our obsession with like VeggieTales and the silly songs with Larry. Maybe that's where this came from.
It's possible.
I don't know.
It was so funny.
It was.
I do have it on video
somewhere
because I videoed everyone's things.
Yeah.
And Dalton and Luke, they both did a really great job.
They did, yeah.
They both came up with a fun, creative little ditty.
And, you know, mine was so good that we still sing it today.
We do.
It lasted. Yeah.
Thanks for pointing that out. That's a nice plug.
Yeah, I know.
It stuck. It stuck. And we all started singing it. And then we remember now the one that you wrote. And that's the one we sing in concert.
But Charlie's.
Charlie's version was like heavy metal head banging.
Which it's hysterical because, I mean, where in the world did he come up with that? I mean, I'm sitting here trying to think of where. It's not like we were sitting around listening to, you know, 70s rock.
Well, yeah, but 70s rock isn't like metal and that's more southern.
True.
This had like AC/DC vibes. and you know what? He had, unless it was some kind of movie, I mean, like literally the wildest thing he would have heard in his childhood is probably Charlie Daniels on Minnesota Cube.
Yes. Yeah.
The VeggieTale. But this was completely organic. It came right out of Charlie's, his gut.
Yeah.
And he owned it. He felt it.
He sold it. He dropped it like it was hot.
I am laughing hard. I don't think I can sing it. Can you do it? I wish we had the video.
All right, hang on. Let me breathe. Okay. I wish I had something to hit. You like our buffalo drum?
You'd be like, here's Weezer. He hit Weezer.
He hit the lid of the trash can.
Did you just get what I meant?
Yeah.
We'll all make t-shirts that say, I hit Weezer Boudreaux.
Okay, but he hit one of those flipping lid trash cans. So every time he hit it, it was like out of control.
It was just flying.
Okay, wait. All right, I'm ready.
Okay, all right.
I'm ready.
Can you do it?
All scripture is inspired by God. In an epic drum solo.
Boom, 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 boom.
On the flipping trash can lid.
I will find that video.
Oh
man. My goodness. Those are such great memories.
Now, let's sing the version that I wrote. we have done it many, many concerts, and you've used it in co-ops and camps. It's really probably the core verse for the thesis of this podcast, which is teaching your children God's word.
Okay, good point. All right. I'll sing the harmony and the echoes. And yeah, because I got to get those echoes in there. All right.
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable.
And profitable.
For teaching.
For teaching.
For reproof.
For reproof.
For correction.
For correction.
And training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be adequate. Equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I love that song. Not just because I wrote it, though.
You know, I know, but you know what? I need parents to understand you wrote that.
Yeah.
Before Daisy was born.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said you're 8 years older than Daisy.
Yeah. So I was six,
yes.
Seven.
And parents are going to say to me, Margie, that's okay, fine. But your kids, no, not my kids. Mm-hmm. Children, they are exposed to advertisement jingles.
Yes.
And cartoons, the music behind their video games. Mm-hmm. They have, they can come up with fun little, get them involved in this.
Yes,
I mean, all four of you, news flash people, Dalton and Luke were not into the music like Mary Caroline, okay?
Yeah.
I had to do things, work overtime to keep their heart, to keep it fun, to keep it light, to keep it silly. And we all know that if you attach a memory.
Yeah.
Let's clarify here, a good memory. But even our bad memories become, you know, core memories here. If you attach an experience, a memory to these things, then they're just going to be crazy attached to these songs, to these scriptures.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good place to wrap up today. I love how you incorporate scripture into the little kids' handwriting. And I know that studies on the brain, based on brain-based learning, show ample support for hearing, seeing, writing, speaking, and singing in order to make something stick in a child's brain.
Yes. And I'm all about checking off as many things as I can at a time on the to-do list.
Yes.
So if I can do Bible, handwriting, alphabet, spelling, and music all in one fell swoop, I'm going to.
Yes. And I love that the Bible study can be done in the morning or in the evening around the table as a family. I can remember sometimes that Dad would get involved in those after supper sometimes, and other times we'd do them after breakfast. But memorizing the verse that went along with the inductive study we were doing helped us to be really focused as a family.
Yes. And I would encourage moms, think about quality and not quantity.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about how much you get done. Let's say that Dad was full of energy after a day of rest on a Sunday. And that evening after supper, he had everyone get out their copy of, let's say, the precept Bible study we're talking about, and get out their Bible, get out their colored pencils. And he spent a full 45 minutes reading the lesson, and Mom stayed engaged, helping younger ones write and underline, or, you know, chasing toddlers so that Dad could be engaged with the older ones. However it actually went down, Mom and Dad both stayed engaged and did the thing and got everyone in bed and still had some Mom and Dad time, and boom.
We nailed it.
Yeah. You know, big boom. A Luke boom. But then Monday evening rolls around and Dad has had a long first day of the week,
mm-hmm.
and Mom is feeling like it has been Monday all day long.
Yeah.
And the kids are absolutely crazy. And after supper, maybe all you get done is Dad saying, hey, what is our memory verse this week? And he reads it and everybody repeats it. Mm-hmm. And then he leads in prayer and he says, go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. That took 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That is still a win.
Yeah.
Nothing. If you are hearing from me that this needs to be something that is legalistic or idolized, you are mishearing me.
I would say it needs to loop. Be on a loop schedule.
Okay.
Help me explain what I mean by
that. Okay, you nailed it. That is exactly what it is. Okay, a loop schedule means we don't have an end date in mind for whatever study we're doing.
Yeah.
Every time we eat together, we intend to be purposeful in feeding our spirits as well as our bellies.
Yeah.
That needs to be a family priority if you are a Christian. That would be a really good place to start. So it just means before we leave the table, we grab a tool.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a Bible study, like precept that we've been talking about. It could simply be, okay, we've talked about the names for God that we do as a family.
Yeah.
It might be the name of God for the week.
Yeah.
It might be a hymn of the month that we're looking at. We've got all of these tools in place so that there's something easy to grab.
Yeah.
And we do the next thing. Mm-hmm. That's what looping means.
Yeah.
And we do however much of the next thing our family can do at that moment and at that stage.
Yeah.
We love our people first. We don't make the process more important than the end. And the end is that we love one another.
Yeah.
The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like it. love your neighbor as yourself. So we love God and we love people. We don't make the process more important than the people.
Yeah.
So prioritize feeding your family spiritually, but keep first things first. Love your people like Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
And that is how you keep their heart. Mm-hmm. That is how they learn to trust you with their hearts. If you love them well, if you meet their needs, if you do not ask for more than their age and stage can give you, if you keep it light, keep it short, try and stop before you're mad.
there's a lot of truth in that.
Right? Yeah. We are finite physical beings. We only have so much to give in a day. Grace, grace, grace. But I promise you, every little bit adds up.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that next time when we talk about how to memorize entire chapters of scripture, mm-hmm. entire books of the Bible.
Yes. I always remember your little question whenever I'm facing a task or something that's really going to take a lot. How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
All right.
One bite at a time.
Well, let's pray.
You're going to pray today?
Yeah. I'll end this out today. Dear Father, we need you. We need your word to nourish and to strengthen us, to make us hungry and thirsty for your presence, your strength, and your guidance. When we neglect your word, be faithful to send those hunger pains. And when we get in a busy season where we seriously neglect your word and become numb to those pains, we beg you to wake us up. Send people or circumstances to soften our hearts and to draw us back to you. And for those who are not hungry and realize that they may not be alive in Christ, we pray that today would be the day that they ask you to make them alive. Please grow their faith and give them an unmistakable hunger for you. We love you and we thank you for your word. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sissy. And until next time, ladies, give God your hearts.
Give God your hearts.